I appreciate a pastor that's willing to give his pulpit up once in a while. So I'm sorry. As I said, this scripture was a very important part for me, because Paul is writing to the church in Philippi. He's inspired by God. I love this guy, because if you look at Paul's life, he is a Jew among Jews. He believes in it so strongly that he is willing to persecute Christians. And Paul goes out and he's gathering Christians, and then on the Damascus Road, he finds Christ. And Paul then moves from a persecutor of Christians to a proclaimer of Christ. And he is a Christian of all Christians at that point. It doesn't matter what direction he goes in, it's going to be for the Lord. And he is in the midst of his own trials. He is in prison when he writes this letter. As Pastor Ron shared with you a couple weeks ago when we started this series, he was in prison. It wasn't like prison today. There was no gym. There was no videos. There was a cold, damp cell. And prisoners were not taken care of by the authorities. They were taken care of by their family and their friends. And so Paul really depended on the Philippian church to provide for him. And so he is very grateful to them. And his message is important, because at any time, Paul could be facing death. And he needed his message to get out. He started this church, and he loves it. And so he shares a message that he wants them to hold true to. Would you please stand for the reading of God's word? Therefore, my friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything, everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firm to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I have not run or labored in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on sacrifice, and the service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you, all of you. So you too shall be glad and rejoice with me. Thank you, Lord God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and your direction. And we pray, Lord God, that today your word will speak to the hearts of your people. And we praise you, Father, what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I have to tell you, I chose this scripture because as a new Christian, when I found Christ, I was desperate. I was really seeking something that was worthwhile, because we had just experienced a death in our family of our nephew, and I did not know the Lord. I had no Christian upbringing whatsoever, but I was desperate at this point. And I accepted Christ. It was a free gift, as I understood it. It was a free gift, and there were no strings attached, and I was looking for hope. And so I accepted Christ. And then I got to the scripture, and it says to work out your salvation. And I'm like, work out my salvation? How do I work out my salvation? I thought it was free. I didn't have to worry about it. There was no strings attached. It was just give yourself, be forgiven, and you have a free gift. And then I went back and I asked our pastor, great pastor, and I asked him, what does this mean to work out your salvation? I thought this was a free gift that I accepted. no strings attached. Did you ever get a phone call and said, we have a free gift for you, and all we need is your credit card number? Well, this was really a free gift. And we need to recognize that salvation is not a work of mankind for God, but it is a work of God for mankind. We find those truths throughout the scripture. In Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, for grace you have been saved through your faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not a result of work, that no man should boast. Salvation is not a reward for our great behavior. It is not but a gift for the guilty. Because I was guilty. I was a sinner. I was guilty. Salvation does not come because of what we do, but because of what Jesus did. And not because of the efforts of the life that we have lived, but the efficiency of his death. Salvation is a gift that we do not earn. We simply receive it. We experience it not by the purifying of our hearts, not by perfecting our own life, but not by performance, but simply by believing in Jesus Christ and receiving him into our hearts. Salvation is a gift to those who believe in Christ and all that he has done for us. He laid down his innocent, sin-free life for the guilty, for you and I. And you know, I have to tell you that it was a learning process for me once I found Christ. He has placed a tremendous amount of potential in each one of us. Once we accept him, there is a potential that is placed in us, and he wants us to work it out. That's really what that scripture means. To work out the best in you. There is a Greek word that was used here that Paul used, and it was, I hope I got this right, if any of you are Greek scholars, jedekiza. And it is working the best, getting the potential out. See, he has placed a potential in each one of us, and he wants us to work it out. He wants us to get the best out of you and for his kingdom. They use that word in the silver mines. They had the mines. They wanted to get the most out of those mines. And this is the word that they used for describing what they needed to get out of those mines. They needed to get the best out of it. Paul used it when he was talking about the fields. They planted their fields. They nurtured their crops. And then they needed to gather the harvest, and they needed to get the maximum amount out of that harvest. And that's what he wants when he says, work out your salvation. He wants you to get the best out of that. I have to tell you that as a Christian, I really enjoy just sitting back and taking it all in. Just taking out, you know, taking everything in that God was giving me. It was awesome. And then one day, there was a pastor that called me out. And I have to tell you that he called me into the office and he said, Lou, I wanted to talk to you about running for Sunday school superintendent. That's what it used to be, Sunday school superintendent. And I'm like, well, you know, I don't really know anything about that, and, you know, I really don't know that that's the direction God wants to use me in, because I really like taking it all in. And he said, well, I have to tell you that I see a potential in you to be a good leader. And I'm like, there must be somebody else in the room with me, because he wasn't talking about me. I was just a mom. I was a wife and a mom. I was a bus driver at the time, and he said, his name was Pastor Mark Powell, and he said to me, he said, no, God has something he wants you to do. He said he didn't save you, just save you for something. He wants you to do something. He said he has placed potential in you to make a difference for the kingdom. And I'm like, really? Me? Well, I did agree. I'm like, okay, let's see what God's going to do. And so I served on that board for 13 years as Sunday school superintendent. But in that process of realizing potential that God had placed in me, I also went back and got my high school diploma, and I went back to school to Washtenaw for my business degree. But I then realized that there was something else that God wanted me to do. I ran for a lot of years. I knew God was calling me to preach, and that's not something that I thought that I really could do. And honestly, I can't. It is Him in you that gives you that potential. But I have to tell you that I was sitting right where Ron Sharp Sr. is sitting, right there, and Pastor Greg Davis was preaching that day, and he was preaching right to me. I know, because every time he spoke, he said, "Lou Gilroy, you're going to quit running." Lou Gilroy, that day, I have to tell you that the Lord placed such conviction on my heart from the running, from His calling on my life. And that day, I sat in that very chair and sobbed my eyes out, because I knew I had to do what He had called me to do. Amen. He had placed a potential in me that I did not realize. And each one of us that sit here today, God has placed a tremendous amount of potential within you. He wants you busy about His business. He wants you building the kingdom. He wants you making a difference in the lives of your family, in your friends, in your workplace, in your community. He wants you busy about Him. He wants you to figure out. He wants you to work out your salvation to the fullest. I have to tell you that I was not ready for that. I was a full-time mom and a wife, and I had a full-time job as a transportation supervisor, because that's where realizing my potential took me. It took me from being a bus driver to a transportation supervisor, and I was working that full-time job, but God placed a potential in me, and He had something more for me to do. And I have to tell you that I started taking my classes after all of this, and I thought, well, I'm really going to push through that. The first year, I did 11 courses, and I'm like, I am exhausted. I'm staying up till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning doing my homework and making sure, because when you take online classes, you have to put in 25 hours a week. So on top of everything else, and I finally got a hold of one of my professors, and I said, I just don't know about this. Man, that's a lot of hours. I'm staying up till 2 or 3 in the morning, and I just don't know. And he said, is this God's calling on your life? And I said, well, yeah. He said, then He'll give you what you need to complete it. He'll give you what you need to do it. It's not about you. It's about Him. And what are you willing to do? He gave His life for you. We need to recognize that we serve the Most High God. He is able in all things. He is the first and the last, the beginning, the end, the Alpha, the Omega. He is creator of this universe. He gave you life. He breathed life into you. He has a purpose for you. He is creator. He always was and always will be. He was bruised and brought life, that we might recognize that He has something in you. He has something in you. It isn't about what you have. It's about what He placed in you. You have potential to be transformed and to transform the world around you. And that's what He wants. He wants us busy. He wants us to work out our salvation. He is a great God, and He is able in all things. And you need to just realize the potential that lies within you and realize what He wants you to do. I have to tell you that there are a lot of people. I remember talking to a lady one time, and she says, yeah, well, I'm I'm done. I'm done working in the nursery, and I'm done teaching. I've done that for way too many years. Can I tell you, he's never done with you. He may move you in another direction, but he is never done with you. As long as there is air in your lungs, he wants you busy in his work. We cannot sit back. I don't care how young you are or how old you are. God has a plan for you. He wants you busy in his work. He has placed a great potential in you, and you need to recognize what it is that he wants to do in your life and through your life. We need to be prepared for what it is that he wants to do in your life. He is an awesome God, and he wants relationship with you. He wants us to recognize the power that lies within us. He planted that potential in you, and it was for a reason. We need to work out our salvation. And then it says, with fear and trembling. I have to tell you that that kind of threw me as well, because I'm like, fear and trembling. Like, I didn't come to the Lord fear and trembling. What it really means is that we need to recognize who God is and who we are. He is an awesome God. Like I said, he spoke the universe into existence. We need to realize of his suffering and his dependency on him. The alertness to the things of the Spirit. We need to be committed to Christ. We need to be committed to the call on each one of our lives. I guarantee you that when God called Sarah to do Love Your City, she did not feel like she could handle the task. I know, because she's my daughter. And she spent some days wondering, what is it that I'm supposed to do? And then God began to clarify what it is. And whether she would like to admit it or not, God has a plan for her life. And he wants to utilize the potential that lies within her. Stacy, what an awesome job. It takes a strong leader to move people into those particular things to do. Sarah didn't think she could do it. Stacy, I am sure, on Thursday night was overwhelmed by what we had experienced. You know, we were going to do the treat trail. We had it all set up, ready to do, just as we did last year. Last year, we had about 300 people here. But this year, the weather caused them to change the plan. That's hard when you are changing a plan just a few days before something's to occur. But Stacy made a decision to do it. Stacy, I'm sure several other people had something to do with it, but they transformed this building into the treat trail very quickly. And I have to tell you that that was almost overwhelming for us, even in the hallway as they're trying to work their way in and work their way out. And 800 people? 800 people. That is awesome. God has placed in Stacy the potential to lead people. And she leads in a different way. Sarah leads in. They don't like to be up front. And I have to tell you that God, you know, placed me here because I didn't really like to be up front either. And I have to go back a few years, but I was very quiet and shy. And but, you know, God changes you. He changes you so he can use you in different ways. And I'm grateful for that, because I can't imagine if I was still running from the call on my life. And what direction would that have led me in? But Paul is challenging the church in Philippi, and he challenges us today. Paul talks about in the 13th verse, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill a good purpose, not only in the beginning, but at every point along our Christian walk. And we need to depend on his power. Paul challenges the Christians in Philippi. He challenges us today to stand firm in their faith against outside threats, to get along with each other. Can you imagine getting along with everybody? Let's face it. We come in contact with some people that are a little difficult to get along with. Sometimes it might even be your spouse, or maybe it's your children. You know what happens. It's not just me. It's not just me. Of course, I thought I would get a great amen back there. But the fact is that not everybody is easy to get along with. And God knows that. He created us, but he gives us the power. He gives us, he can give us the power to get along with people. Sometimes it's hard to keep your mouth closed. But he did it for Daniel in the lion's den. He can do it for you. Paul admonishes them to have the same mind as Christ. Can you imagine? The same mind as Christ. He's called us to that. Paul reveals in working out your salvation the secret that it's God's power. God's power working on us enables us to stand firm. It enables us to get along with people. It enables us to emulate the mind of Christ. God's power working in us enables us to work out our salvation. That power is released in many different ways. Participating in activities of the kingdom building. The power of God in our life is just like when we did Love Your City. Or if we gather in community groups. Or have dinner with one another. Or just becoming the family of God, getting to know each other. I remember in the first church that Art and I went to after we got saved, it used to be a Pilgrim Holiness Church. And I appreciate so much when I think back of that church, because we used to call each other, and I thought this was really weird at first, and some of you might think it's weird, but it was like, the pastor was Brother Messer. So it would be, Brother Sharp, how are you today? And he'd say, Sister Lou, I'm doing great. It was brother and sister. But you know what that did? It made us realize that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. You are my brothers and sisters in Christ. You are my family. God wants me to know my family. He wants me to get together with my family. He wants that relationship to grow. He really does. Because this is your family. We are here to help you. When you are in need, when you are down, we want to lift you up. That's what your family of God is. We need to be that to one another. Where two or more are gathered in my name in the midst, I will be. God's power somehow is more effective when we gather together rather than when we stand alone. Stop and think about it. If Pastor Ron got this great idea, this Love Your City idea, and he had no support. Stop and think about it. Pastor Ron shows up at WOW, the World of Wonder, and there's Pastor Ron. What an impact that would have made on the community. What will we have gotten done? Not... but it would have been very precise. But the fact is that God didn't call just Pastor Ron to Love Your City. He called Sarah and Rob and Connie. He called everybody to to love your city. And we had an awesome turnout of 114 people that came together to worship that day. And 80-some stayed and did the work. It was a miserable, miserable day. It rained all day long. It rained hard at times. But we stood firm together and accomplished great things for the Lord. And that will make an impact in this community for a long time to come. But if Pastor Ron would have stood alone, it wouldn't have had near the impact. You're a great guy, but it wouldn't have had near the impact. That's just a fact. Treat Trail, the same thing. God called us to do this, to bridge people in. And the fact is, he bridged a lot of people in. We had a party bus parked in the pavilion. I mean, it was a great time. And a lot of people came through our doors. And we just want to love on people. That's what God's called us to do here. It's kingdom building. That's what he's called us to. And if we stand together, we can do that. We can make an impact on this community. Can you imagine if Pastor Ron had been the only one and Stacy, and they had all those people that came in that night? It wouldn't have made near the impact. And people were grateful that we had the doors open, that it was inside, that their kids could come here and have a great time. And it was a safe place. That's kingdom building. And then there's prayer. Prayer puts us in a position where God's power flows through us. And I have to tell you, I've been a Christian a long time, and I've spent a lot of time in prayer. And I have to tell you that it was in the desperate times of my life that I have spent more time in prayer. But I have to tell you that for some reason, Pastor Ron really challenged me a couple weeks ago. And it was really on seeking the Lord. And I remember going into my bedroom, and I got on my knees, and I just asked God to help me seek his face every day. And I got to tell you, the power of the Lord just came over me, and I realized what an awesome God he is. And since then, my desire to seek his face and to be in his presence has been so overwhelming. It is so awesome when you can feel the power of God in your life, when he can transform you. I even put a sticker now. I have a sticker just in case Art comes up and he's wondering where I am. The door says, please don't disturb, I'm in prayer. He hasn't come up yet. I've just disappeared for an hour and he doesn't know where I'm at. It's okay. I'm surprised you didn't get an amen to that. Time spent in the presence of God allows the power to flow through us more freely and through our lives. It's a way he speaks to us. And then studying the Word of God allows us to learn the truths of God and how to apply it to our life. We need to be in community groups so we can grow in the Word, which empowers us. We need to be in service on a daily basis so we can grow our spiritual muscles and it will energize us spiritually. I have to tell you that many of you I know, you know Loretta, my sister, my twin sister, and last year she was on life support for 2.5 months. And, you know, I was in prayer a lot for her, and I know many of you were. But Loretta, in that 2.5 months, her muscles became very depleted and very weak. And after 2.5 months, she could barely lift her fingers. And when she began to recuperate, her wrists, she could move her wrists a very little, but she began to move her wrists, and they began to work with her to begin to build up her muscles again. and she could get her arm lifted a little bit. But the more she lifted her arm, the better her muscle came back. And that's kind of what it is for our spiritual muscles. If we don't come into the presence of God, if we don't seek his face, if we don't get into the word and gather with one another, our spiritual muscles get pretty weak. God wants us together. He wants us standing firm in our faith, but if we have no spiritual muscle, that won't happen. Spiritually, our service, prayer, standing firm in who you are in Christ on a daily basis will build those spiritual muscles. He will give you everything you need when you need it. I know every day on the way to work, when I actually did work, I would pray every day that God would open opportunities for me to witness for him. And do you know that the Lord was faithful? I would get a phone call to somebody and somebody would be talking. I'd say, well, I'm going to be praying for you. And they'd say, you can do that? And I'd say, actually, only when the Lord leads me, because that could have cost me my job if I shared Christ with people. But God opened opportunities, and it never caused a problem. Working in a school district, you had to be pretty careful, but he does have the opportunity. He does have the power to open opportunities for us, no matter where we are. In our family, sometimes that is the hardest. I have to tell you, when Art got saved, I called my mom. I was saved for a couple years. She knew I was serving the Lord, and I called my mom. I said, I'm so excited. Art found Christ. And she said, was he drunk? And I said, yes, he was. Yes, he was. But God sobered him up in a heartbeat. In a matter of minutes, he had his hand on the doorknob ready to leave me. I was pregnant for our third child, and he was ready to leave me that night. And it was because I was serving God. And he couldn't take that. Because, see, I turned to the Lord when our nephew Jason died, and Art turned to the brown bottle. But God brought him back. And you know, in an instant, we were kneeling at the couch praying a salvation prayer, and that man walked about 2 feet off the ground for a long time. He is able in all things. I thought everything was over. I thought, I'm done here. I've been praying for 2 years for this man, and now he's leaving me. But in an instant, he transformed his life. He sobered him up in an instant. And he's been serving since. And I praise God for that power that is available to us. Our character is revealed by what we stand for, by what we fall for, by what we lie for. And clearly the truth of that statement has been seen generation after generation. The true character of many Christians have been by the fact that they stand for nothing, fall for everything, and will lie about everything. We need to be Christians to live out the life that he has laid out for us. Christ has established a way for his people to live a life of integrity. And that's what he's calling us to live out a life of integrity, to do all things without grumbling and disputing. Can you imagine, do all things? That means no matter what your wife asks you to do, you need to do it without grumbling and complaining. And how about what your husband might ask you to do? Maybe do that without grumbling and complaining. Now, your teenagers, that's another story. No, I'm just kidding. But how about when you get a job? You agree to take a job at the church. Maybe God's asked you to do something, and you decided, okay, I'm going to do that. And all you do is grumble about it. Who's going to be blessed by that? Who's going to really be blessed by that? God has a plan for you. He doesn't want you to grumble. He is placing things in your life right now that you need to do here. We have a lot of things that need to be done at this church, and he wants to use you. He has placed that potential in you, and he wants you to pick up the ball and run with it. And he will give you the power to do it, but he does not want you to be grudgingly disobedient. He wants you to be happy about what you're doing. There is a grudging obedience. That's proper action. I'm going to do it, but I got a really bad attitude about it. And he doesn't want that in the church. It's kind of like the little boy that was jumping on the couch. And mom says, don't jump on the couch. He continues to jump on the couch. So she has nothing more she can do except give him a swat on the fanny. He continues to jump on the couch. She swats him on the fanny again. So he sits down. And he looks at her and he says, I'm sitting on the outside, but I'm jumping on the inside. Have you ever done that yourself? Yeah. Sometimes we have that grudging disobedience. We're going to do it the right way, but we aren't really happy about it. And that's what God wants us to get over. He does not want us to have that kind of disobedience in our life, that kind of attitude in our life. He wants us to give our offering and tithes with a happy heart, not wishing we could spend it somewhere else. He wants us to come here prepared to receive his message, not thinking about, man, I could be on the boat in Florida somewhere. Right, Ron? Many times we're like that. Proper actions with proper attitude is what he wants. The word grumbling means an unhappy spirit. God has something for each of us to do, and we need to seek him so we know what that is and when to do it without grumbling and complaining. Paul was telling the Philippians to live out pure lives, develop inner character so it's seen to other people. Paul quotes in that scripture from Deuteronomy 32:5, where he spoke of a crooked and perverse generation. The children of God were not acting like children of God. They were not doing as God had told them. Instead of obeying, they were disobeying him. They were complaining about everything. In that scripture, they had been in exile. They were slaves for 400 years. And God intervened for them. He sent Moses, and Moses came, and those slaves were set free. They crossed over the Red Sea. They're in the desert. God is providing for them every day. Can you imagine manna coming from heaven? Your meal is coming from heaven every day, and all they did was complain about it. Man, we got manna again. Is this all we're going to get? They needed water. He provided water. But all they did was complain. God brought them from slaves to freedom, and all they did was complain. God's children are not meant to be a crooked and perverse, leading others astray. Instead, we're meant to be pure, not by increasing the world's darkness, but to be light. Are you light today? Are you light in your workplace, in your home, when you come to worship? We need to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. Pastor Ron, I love when he gives, when he was speaking, it's been a while now, but he talks about if we have a problem, instead of pouring gas on the situation, that we pour water on it. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us putting out fires, not pouring more accelerant on it to make it worse. We need to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. We are children of God, and we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We have been adopted into a royal family. And he needs us to live like it. We have the Spirit of God that dwells within us. And we need to be, we really need to strive to be more like Jesus every day. God wants us to be visible. He wants us to be excited about the Spirit that's within us. So excited that we might share it with the world. See, Paul's joy did not come from his pleasant circumstances. He was in a cold, wet prison. It was a dreadful place. And he was facing possible death in an unpleasant way. But he said his circumstances did not matter. Even if I were to die tomorrow, he said, his joy came from the Lord. And in seeing the faithfulness of his Christian friends, he found joy in their service for God. The growth, the faith, the witness for Christ. He wanted them to rejoice in each other's successes. That's why it's important for us to make sure that Sarah and Stacy and every person that's involved with things, we celebrate their successes. I have to tell you that all of those great things depend on us standing together. And I have to tell you that Revision Sunday wouldn't have been near as successful if it hadn't been for Kathy and Jody and Eileen and all the women that came together, Sue, that came together to make sure that the meal worked out well. It takes us standing together, this family of God, loving each other, amen, respecting each other, not complaining about each other. He wants us to live pure lives. He wants us to rejoice in each other's successes. Paul is asking us to stand firm. He's asking us sometimes almost the impossible task to be filled and led by the Holy Spirit, to think like Christ, to love like Christ, and to always give each other the advantage. To always give the other the advantage. To live a radically different lifestyle that characterizes the Christian community. That stands up, stands firm in a community of people that are seeking him. We need to be the light. We need to be busy in his work. We need to realize that he has placed great potential in you. And you need to stand up and stand firm in him. We are all called, as Jesus was, to be emptied. And I have to tell you, I was going to say, you know, I was going to not hold you hostage today. But I have one small thing to close with. There was an advertisement that I seen. Jim, could you come and play? And in closing, I seen an advertisement, and it was for an item that, it was a motion sensor, and as you entered the room, you could swing your arm in, and that motion sensor wouldn't go out. You could swing your leg in, you could do a dance, and nothing would happen until you totally stepped into the room. And when you totally stepped into the room, it happened. The lights came on. That's what God wants. He wants us to totally step in to his story. To step into him. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know if you have recognized your potential that he has placed within you. I don't know if you've recognized the direction that he wants you to go in, or that you can make a difference in this community, in your families. But the altars are going to be open. If you want to seek his face, to seek what he has for you, and that great potential within you, the altars are open. I'm going to ask if Pastor Ron would close with prayer. The altars are open.
Would you stand as we close together today? The song that Jim is playing is a song that talks about, here am I. I'm surrendering it all. Take my life and let it be wholly given to you, Lord. And this morning, I pray that each one of us will step into that story of God. Amen? That we will step into the story that transforms and changes us only through His power, not our own, and through His grace, not our own effort, but through the very power of His Spirit. The altars are always open, and we invite you. But all of us need to respond to this today, don't we? That we might allow Him to be at work in us, so we might shine in the world that we live in, that He might live in us and do His work. Let's pray together. And if the Lord is impressing you to respond, please do step out and come and kneel and pray and ask Him to do His work in you and surrender your heart to Him and allow Him to do something that only He can do. Father, we give you praise today. We thank you, Father, as Lou has shared from the scripture today, shared, Lord God, that you have placed within each of us your divine potential, your potential. What you can do, not what we can do, but what you can do by grace and through faith and through your power. And Father, we're thankful today that that you can do in us far more than we can ever imagine. We tend to look at things and we see the limitations of our own life, but you see the potential. You know what we need. And Father, we pray that you would call all of us deeper into the story. And we pray that you would help us to become what you've called us to be. Not what we desire to do, but what you're desiring to do within us and through us. And then we'll shine like stars against the backdrop of a crooked and perverse generation. So Father, we thank you. Thank you for the response today here to this, to the altar call. Those that are moving out and saying, God, do something in me. Do something in me. Do a new work in my life. We all need that today. I need that today. We all need today to step deeper into the story of your purpose and your love for our lives. So, Father, we pray today that you would do that. Do that in those who've come to kneel. Do that in those who are standing today. Do that in us, and may you raise us up as your church to be a very different kind of people in a world that so needs to see the light of Jesus. We pray this today, and we give you all the thanks for all that you're going to do and all you're doing in our hearts today. And we say, here we are, Lord, all of us. Take our lives. May they be consecrated completely to you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, there's prayer going on at the altar this morning, and I want you to respect that, but may you go in His peace, and may you go in His grace, may you go in His power, and may you shine in a world that needs to see Jesus. Amen? Amen.